Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
This episode of Gaze at the National Parks is sponsored by Moon Travel Guides.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel. Don't spend months trying to build the perfect trip when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you are taking a short road trip, exploring a European city, heading to a national park, or traveling to South America, Asia, or beyond, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
At the time had just gone through a terrible breakup, like epic breakup, and was moving out to Phoenix, to Arizona, where I live now, and I had a job lined up, but I was leaving New York because like this was the breakup of all the breakups, and I was like, I gotta get out. This island is very small. Like, I gotta get off this place. And had just packed up my car, just like my little car with whatever I had. So there was like not a moving truck. It was nothing. It was like me and all my like literal baggage and like emotional baggage, and just started driving west. And it was like things just hit a little different when you're carrying that stuff and all those feelings, but then also you're on the road, right? And it's just like hours to think, but like a sunset hits a little bit different. I remember being on I-40, and I think I was like going through the panhandle of Texas, which is a very like vast expanse of land. Like, there's not a whole lot. There was just, the whole land was flat, and the sun was just like, just kept sinking and sinking and sinking. And I just was literally watching the sun set. And it was, as I said, just hits a little different when you're feeling all the feelings. And I think that was probably when I was like, oh, a road trip can be a lot more than just a way to get from point A to B. Like, by the time I got to Arizona, I felt so much lighter.
Hello, and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike. While the long format episodes of our show explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix is the short format episode of our show. It's where we get to explore topics we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including history, science, environmental justice, and also interviews.
Today's Trail Mix is a very special interview with Jessica Dunham, the author of The Open Road, 50 Best Road Trips in the USA by Moon Travel Guides. Jessica Dunham lives in Phoenix with her husband and 2 spunky dogs and has developed a deep love and relationship with Route 66.
Traveling back and forth from Phoenix and Vermont on the open road, Jessica used her imagination and travel savvy to explore much of the United States.
She's traversed the southwest portion of Route 66 hundreds of times, napped in leafy parks, camped in tents, dined at mom and pop eateries, met strangers, and made friends in almost every town dotting the famed highway. She's seen the sunrise over Illinois cornfields and watched it set over the Pacific Ocean.
Her writing has been featured in Phoenix Magazine, Valley Guide, Phoenix Travel Guide, Arizona Visitor's Guide, Midwest Living, Phoenix New Times, Modern Luxury, Annapolis Visitor's Guide, Connecticut Visitor's Guide, Runner's World, Jane, Discover South Carolina, and more.
She is also someone who became like an instant friend, and we promise you'll be able to hear the exact moment when this happens. We are so excited because with us today is Jessica Dunham. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be on today.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you.
We're thrilled to have you. And you are the author of The Moon Travel Guide, The Open Road, 50 Best Road Trips in the USA, From Weekend Getaways to Cross-Country Adventures.
I know that the title's a mouthful.
But it's really accurate.
It's succinct, yeah.
It's really accurate. Mm-hmm. First of all, I do have to shout out to the folks at Moon because I do feel like visually they always lay out their books very well.
Never overstimulated.
No. Yeah. And it's just like, and their use of color, especially jewel tones, because I do love a good jewel tone. But something that I love already about the first time I picked up your book was like when you look at the side of it, you can see like the edge of the pages are like batched into different colors. And that is to talk about like the different areas of the country where road trips can happen. I'm so curious to know, like, what brought you to writing this book?
Well, first of all, can I just say thank you for noticing little details like that? Because usually when we're talking about the book, it's talking about the content, which is great. But Moon does such a nice job with all of those little readability features. And you are totally right. The colors on the side highlight the 9 different regions that we cover in the book. So yay, thank you for noticing. Not that I had anything to do with that, but...
But yes, no, we understand. It's important.
It is. Graphic design is there for a reason.
Mike is our in-house like visual artist. He's sort of like the visual artist component of our partnership. So he's always noticing details like that.
It's a true gift. So kudos to you. I don't have that eye. I have the appreciator eye, but I don't have the designer eye. So much respect.
But appreciator eyes are just as important.
This book came about, if you can believe it, from my experience and love for Route 66.
Ah, yes. Love that.
So have either of you done Route 66?
We have been on a portion of it.
Yes.
When we were in Painted Desert.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's such a great, it's funny that is like probably the part of Route 66 that is so unique in that the rest of Route 66 is not at all like the Painted Desert, but that's also probably the most beautiful part.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Mm. So that's our only little experience with Route 66. And it's obviously very, very slight, but no, I don't know. I know that it is a giant route that crosses most of the country, but it's something that neither of us have had the privilege of fully doing yet.
I love Route 66. I have done it in its entirety probably 3 or 4 times and then portions of it dozens of times, but I had written a Moon guide on Route 66, so the Moon Route 66 road trip, when Moon came back to me and said that they were thinking about doing this bigger road trips guide, and would I be interested in sort of expanding my knowledge of road trips through Route 66 into 49 more road trips. And of course I said yes. And the idea was that we would highlight 3 cross-country road trips. So 3 biggies, right? Like epic journeys, coast to coast. And Route 66 would be one of those, even though it's not technically coast to coast because it does start in Chicago and end at the Pacific Ocean. So it really isn't coast to coast. But that was the genesis of the book, is let's have 3 epic bucket list road trips and then pull in other road trips. And as you said in the title, what's cool is we do road trips as short as 2 days. So if you literally are like, I have a Saturday and a Sunday free, where can I go? I have those in the book. And then if you're like, I've got 3 weeks and I want to hit the road, we have a couple of 21-day trips. I think the longest is 21, 14-day trips, 10-day trips. It's all in there. And we also did this thing in the book where at the end of each road trip, we give you suggestions for how you can tack on another road trip or amend the one you're on to like add something else in if you're nearby. So it's like, as you said earlier, it is a choose-your-own-adventure road trip book.
Yeah, no, that's, and it's so great to just have that as a, you know, option. Like, options are the spice of life, especially as we started talking about Acadia earlier, prior to starting our recording. Just having the option to go one way or the other and to then choose your own adventure, it just makes things all the more interesting.
And, like, also, I don't know how you feel, but wouldn't you say that is, like, why you would want to take a road trip to begin with, is to have a little agency over what you're going to see or where you're going to go?
As opposed to knowing, like, you're getting on a flight and landing in one spot. You have the time to meander, and there's a beauty in that, for sure.
Something that I love that I find to be sort of really true, especially across moon guides, because now, like, we've buried our heads in a lot of them, is how centered curiosity is in everything. Like, curiosity is sort of like, it's like the root of all of the things. And I feel like that, like, translates so beautifully as somebody who, like, goes to a moon travel guide constantly. I'm like, I know I'm going to be getting information from a person who's, like, driven by curiosity as much as I am. And so, like, I always feel like that is always leaping off of the page. I feel like particularly here in your book, that's, like, super highlighted, because, like, I love how, like, in each section of America, there's, like, options for, like, there. Here's a road trip that you could do in 3 days. Here's a road trip that you could do in a weekend. And so, like, there's so many, like, things that I can get curious about and curiosities that I can follow. And I just feel like I'm wondering about, like, curiosity in your own life and, like, where it sits for you and how it shows up in your writing.
Yeah, that's such a good question. And thank you for saying that. I think what people love about getaways and trips and vacations is actually a lot of that moment when you're sitting in your house and you're thinking about it, you know, which is 100% that curiosity, right? Like, it's almost like the anticipation of the trip is the gift itself, which is thinking about going to these places and daydreaming about what they could be like and trying to sort of imagine, if you will, these things that you couldn't even possibly imagine. And so I think that's why we love travel, right? But, like, it is the travel of sitting on the couch thinking about the travel. And then, of course, you get out there, and that's where you get to let all those forces drive you, like the curiosity. Or I'm a planner. I don't know about you, but I love planning things out. But one thing I always, always, always save room for on a road trip or a trip is lots of white space, right? Like, lots of blank space to ask the guy at the brewery, like, what his favorite place is for a croissant for breakfast. And so, again, going back to the road trip thing, you have all of that freedom, if you will, on a road trip to make friends, not make friends, ask questions, don't ask questions, but to let, like, all of the forces of nature of the trip lead you where you may.
That rings very true for our travel. I feel like when I was a little younger and traveling internationally, that also hits really true, because you sort of are, you know, here, if you're a native speaker, or if you know, if English is your first language, it's very easy to just pick up a conversation with somebody and, you know, incite that conversation, figure out what's going on, what you might want to do by asking a local, which is, like, you get some of the best insight from a local. Traveling internationally, you're kind of, like, forced to make connections, and then curiosity sort of develops from that, because you kind of glom onto people that also can speak your language, and then you can kind of figure things out together. At least in my experiences I've had traveling internationally, I've kind of gotten that. So I do, that rings very true. And just travel in general, I feel like if you leave those spaces open, if you leave the doorway open for curiosity, for just your own kind of opportunity beyond what is planned and written on the page, it enriches the trip so much more.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I just got back from a road trip on the 101 up the Oregon coast. That example I used of, like, meeting someone in a brewery, that was true. That we were at a brewery in a little town called Yahats on the 101 in Oregon, and we were sitting outside. It was a beautiful day, which I don't know if you know, you don't get a lot of those on the Oregon coast. It's a lot of cloud coverage, but There was an older gentleman sitting next to me at the picnic table, and we just started talking to him. And he was retired, and in his retirement, he had been volunteering at the Oregon Coast Aquarium in Newport. And he gave us 2 free tickets that he got as a volunteer there and was like, you have to go see this. And I never, ever would have gone to do that. Never. It just wouldn't have crossed my mind to go to an aquarium on a road trip. And because we had a little bit of time, we had a couple hours before dinner, we headed up and did it.
Yeah, it's always amazing like what we've consistently said just from doing the show and from getting to meet so many people. It's the human factor is
always
just such a beautiful thing. And always such a surprise. Like, there's always so many beautiful connections that can be made just by like taking the time to have a conversation with somebody, yeah. Whether it's on the trail, whether it's sitting at a brewery, you know, whether it's at a rest stop, like there is opportunity there, which is so amazing.
I'll share this quick story with you. When we were in Arches National Park, we've told this story on the show before, but I think it's kind of really special because like this was so long ago and we still are kind of in touch with these folks. We ran into this group of
4 or 5 women.
4 or 5 women who were all together and hiking together. And we ran into them like 4 or 5 times on this trail that we were doing. After like the 4th time, I was like, you know, next time we run into them, we should just be like, where are y'all going for dinner? Like, y'all want to meet up, right? So we run into them again, and then they asked us that. And they were like, well, what are we getting drinks after this or something? Come on. And we were like, we were going to ask you that too.
We're so, clearly best friends.
Clearly. And I was like, do you want to exchange numbers? And they were like, no, we only have Canadian phones. They were all Canadian. They were like, our phones don't work here. They were like, so we're going to have to do the thing where we pick a place and a time and just show up.
Oh, stop.
It was great.
And we did. And we all showed up and we all had dinner together. They call themselves the Hiking Mamas. Mm-hmm. And so they do a whole bunch of different road trips. They were doing a trip. I forget.
They were
where
coming
were
down
they
from
going?
Calgary.
Calgary. Yeah.
Yeah,
they were
they
making
all
a whole thing. And so it was great. But like those small moments are the things that make the travel and the like, especially leaving the blank space in the travel, like really worth it, because then you get those memorable moments.
Oh, yeah. And the follow up to my brewery guy story was that we exchanged numbers and I called him later to thank him for the tickets. And he invited us over for dinner at his house with his wife. And when I got to his house, his wife and I were in the kitchen. Her name's Ruth. She was very sweet. And she turns to me and she says, you know, she says, my husband is so introverted. She was like, in the 30 years I've been married to him, he hasn't mentioned meeting anybody out in public. And she said,
wow.
When he said that he met people at the brewery and wanted to have them over, I was like, I knew I had to meet you. It was my husband
amazing.
And I and our 2 dogs. And so,
that's
and now
amazing.
We've exchanged letters already, lifelong friends. So,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
The human factor.
Oh.
The human factor. And you were speaking about hiking in Arches, which is a beautiful national park. I did Arches when I was researching the road trips book, and I was doing Route 50, which goes from Sacramento to Ocean City.
Yes.
And Route 50 pops right on by Arches. So we stopped and we did Arches. But when I was hiking in Grand Canyon National Park, you've been there, right?
Oh, we did.
We have. We haven't gone fully into the canyon.
We haven't done the North Rim. We've only done the South Rim.
Yeah.
This was just last year, and we were hiking down to the river and back up to the rim. And as we were hiking down, we ran into Mr. Dave Matthews himself of 90s jam band.
Wow. Yes.
He did not invite us to dinner.
Oh, but he sang a little bit of Ants Marching for you.
There you go.
He didn't sing anything. Can I tell you, he was wearing this very large, almost costume-like Old West hat.
Oh,
and
he was
on a horse. And as he went by, he like tipped his cap and said cheerio, which when I tell people this, it makes everyone think I was hallucinating and clearly dehydrated, which I wasn't.
Well, that's a story that you will
have forever.
Yeah, Dave Matthews and his 10-gallon hat.
There's
saying
part
cheerio.
Of me that is not surprised.
I felt like he was costumed or something. You're not surprised?
I mean, kind of not. Like, I feel like I feel like if you're Dave Matthews, why not? Why not costume yourself on top of a horse? On top of a horse to, you know, go through the Grand Canyon, you know? Wow, I'm trying to think, have we...
We haven't run into any celebrities.
We haven't run into any celebrities. No, that's not
yet,
true.
Not
you know
not
what?
Yet.
That's not true. On yes, the please. Flight back from LA, when...
Oh, Mr. T was on our flight. Yeah.
Get out.
Yes, and he is exactly as you would imagine mm-hmm. him to be, and the kindest, most generous person. Mm-hmm. There was a line of people in that airport waiting to, like, get a photo with him, and he got a photo with every single
wow.
person, mm-hmm. and he was like, this is why I do what I do. Of course I'm going to engage. Of course you can have a photo. Of course we can talk. I mean, just the kindest, most just, like, available person to this line of fans, and so, yeah, it was wild.
Where's your photo? You guys got one, right?
We didn't get a photo.
Didn't
no.
get a photo.
Honestly, because the line was, like, 30 people deep, and I was like, if we had happened upon now yeah. he was like a few rows in front of us
on
in the
plane yeah
but I was like it feels weird to be like to walk up to someone while on a plane and be like can we selfie you know what I mean like so yeah. so we didn't do that
yeah
okay I'm wondering about this all three of the big road trips in this book all intersect in St. Louis.
Yes, they do. You mm-hmm. do have an eye for detail.
Yeah.
They
and
sure
I'm wondering, like, we did go to St. Louis and we did get to do the Gateway Arch. And I'm wondering, like, was that intentional? Did that just sort of happen to be? Why is St. Louis, like, an intersecting point on, like, three major trips?
Oh God, I would love to say that it was like pure like editorial intention, but I think it's just the sheer fact that St. Louis, at least in American history, has been such a hub of transportation. You know, I mean, it's right on the Mississippi, and so it is for years that was like, even now, I mean, that is a major intersection, for the connection between the East Coast and the West. And so just a lot of roads go through St. Louis.
Yeah, it's a gateway city.
It's literally the gateway
yeah.
city.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so Route 66 comes down from Chicago. So you go Chicago, and then St. Louis is kind of your next big city on Route 66. And then, of course, Route 50 comes through. I mean, I've driven through that city so many times. There's like, I feel like every highway you could ever be on is going to get you to St. Louis at some point.
All roads lead
All
to St. Louis.
All roads lead to St. Louis.
Lead there.
So true.
It's true.
The Rome of our time.
Yeah.
yeah, it's wild to see. I mean, we've not done a full cross-country road trip, but we have done a very
almost
cross-country. We drove from New Jersey to Glacier and then back. So we were like, we could drive. We thought
almost,
about it for a minute.
We were like, do we just go to Olympic? Do we
yes.
do it?
Yeah, and we did.
So tell me, like, what are your road trip personalities, right? Like, some people are,
oh,
like...
Oh, we love that.
Yeah, so tell me, who are each of you in the car? Like, what is the road trip personality that's going to come out?
Okay, well, I do have to say, famously, we do great together on long car rides. Mm-hmm. We kind of always have, like, that was like a really early sort of sign that we traveled well together.
Well, that was like kind of baptism by fire, because we drove, our first trip before national parks was from New Jersey to Orlando and then meandering back up. And we drove that 18 hour straight through.
Yeah.
No stops. Yeah.
No. Yeah. We were
so
wild.
I was like,
people
okay, we did this.
That,
we can travel anywhere.
We
now
can
together.
Do anything. Yeah. Okay, so personalities, especially when it's the two of us going, it's calm. It's like there's not a lot of like urgency, like when it comes to like the actual car riding. And so like as soon as we're like in the car and we're like going, it's like, like relaxed.
Okay.
So because I think I could lean into the fact that like we're both people who travel well together in the car. But there's a lot of intense, deep conversation about hyper-specific niche things, right? It'll be like, let's talk about, I mean, that's when we do all of our therapy talking, right?
Yeah.
let's talk about, like, where are you with shame? You know what I mean? Like, we'll do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of those mm-hmm. conversations mm-hmm. happen. And I guess, like, and we both are big fans of games. So we have a ton of games, like, or books that are trivia books. We've got Trivial Pursuit cards, too. Crossword puzzles. We got puzzles and games for galore days. For days. So, like, if somebody's getting tired of it, then, like, right. And I think, like, we kind of have, like, an understanding that it's, like, the person pulling the weight here is the driver. So, like, driver gets to call the shots about, let's do this trivia book, or let's do this these trivia cards, or whatnot. And I do have to say, like, on the road, I'm the one who is always creating the, like, we have to stop because we have to go there. I need a bathroom stop. Like, I'm the one who, like, I like a bathroom stop. I like strolling through the shop of wherever we stop. That's just me. But you can talk all about your personality.
Which is not me at all. As I said to coworkers today, I was like, yeah, Katie is like 7 hours for us from New Brunswick. That'll be like 8.5, 9, because we'll be stopping a lot. I could drive from New Jersey to Maine and not have to use the bathroom, like, and still be drinking water. So, like,
not me at all.
The stops are like something I have grown to understand, and I work with it now. I have like let it go, but it used to be like, oh my god, you really have to go again, because mm-hmm. I'm just like, that's not a life I live. not at all, which I'm very grateful for, because I know you're like, God, I hate that I have to stop so much.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. I've accepted that it just has to happen all the time now. And yeah. So I just like, I sort of like to work it in as like a, oh, I wonder what this place is like. I'm just going to stroll around and like look at these souvenirs that I'm not going to buy. But, you know, like at any rest stop and just be like, oh, take it in. You know, like I am that
It's an experience
person.
For you.
I make it an experience. Mm-hmm, why not mm-hmm. make it an experience?
Meanwhile, I'm like, let's get there.
Is one of you the driver usually?
No, we both share that.
No, we alternate. Yeah. 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 We like, I feel like even from the get-go, we did that.
Oh, yeah.
It just was like, it's too much heavy lifting to want to drive, especially straight through, like in a late night situation. So, we both share the load there, and we keep it as even as possible. And like, sometimes we'll be like, okay, it's 8 hours. Like tomorrow we might say, all right, I'll drive for 4 and I'll drive for the other 4. Or it just might depend. Like, I'm not feeling it. Can you like take over? Yeah. And then we'll flip flop. So I think we keep it pretty even keeled. One of the things that looking through the book that I love, just kind of bringing it back to that, is I love that you have like playlist suggestions and also like podcasts. Like I'm at the page right now in the Blue Ridge where it's like, you should listen to Dolly Parton's America. And we did that when we were on our long road trip, because it's a great podcast. And I think that's something too. Like we listen to a lot of scary podcasts on our trip out west. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just like make a playlist and just listen to that. Like, so we are easily amused and can like for as long as we're as we've been friends over 12 years now. Yeah. And we hang out a lot, but we're not bored by each other in the car.
No.
There's plenty of things to like chat about, to do. We always make sure that snacks are there. You know, we're well planned and well versed at this point.
It was funny you mentioned the podcast and the music. I mean, music is so subjective and tastes are so subjective. So that was even something we weren't sure we wanted to put in, because a lot of it is sort of indicative of things that I am drawn to or
sure.
like. But I also think that that goes to that question of, you know, what is your road trip personality? Because I think that you can discover kind of new tastes or new interests or new things about yourself when you're in a car on the road for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I think you can kind of play with your interests and try new things, and I don't know, be a new person. Isn't that like mm-hmm. like what road trip movies are all about, is a transformational experience
and discovery.
Yeah. You start as one person and you end as a whole other person.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
true. It's true,
just like Crossroads,
just starring Britney Spears,
starring the legend Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm. Something else that I love regarding the playlists is like, obviously, yes, music can be so subjective, but like, I think it's helpful and like really important that My Tennessee Mountain Home was included here in this, right? I mean, you could have included any Dolly Parton song, but that particular song actually has quite a bit to do with that area and like, and the community of that area and what, and her like entire artistic perspective of growing up there. And so like, I think, I mean, we listened to that song at some point while we were on our trip.
Or in Dollywood.
Or in Dollywood, because we did go there one day.
I too have been to Dollywood. I mean, I don't know. Dolly Parton is like my hero, so.
Oh, same. Entirely. Entirely. I mean, Dollywood was wonderful, but for me, the highlight is that Chasing Rainbows Museum, where you get to just see
Hologram Dolly
and all of the like props from the movie. Like when we walked in and saw like there's the coat of many colors, I burst into tears and I'm like, and there's the handwritten note where she wrote the lyrics. I mean, I was losing my mind. So yeah, like I feel like road trips are always full of surprises like that. Like, oh, I didn't know this was here, and wow, I'm learning something about myself now.
Oh, I could not agree more. And also, as you said, learning something about your road tripping buddy. There's, you know, I've done, every summer we drive from Arizona to Vermont, and it's a big trip, and sometimes we'll do Route 66 and sometimes we'll do other ways to get there. But there was one year when we had a friend of ours from Arizona join us for the whole trip. And this was not a trip where we were going to stop and see things. We were just trying to push through, like, let's just drive. So we were driving all night long. And I remember it was like 2 a.m. somewhere in the cornfields of Illinois. And I was driving and our friend was sitting in the front seat and he was staying awake to keep me awake and just chatting. And I had known him for probably 10 years. And it was one of those conversations that you mentioned earlier. So talk to me about shame. You know, it was one of those conversations where he started opening up about his parents getting divorced when he was really young and not knowing his father and how that shaped a lot of the things he was going through as an adult. And this was a friend of mine I'd known for a decade, and I didn't know any of these things about him. And it was just, you know, like late at night and you're in the car and it has that sort of quiet to it. And everything's really dark outside and you might be the only car on the road. Maybe there's like another late night person on the road, but it just is like this cocoon where you can say things and you can listen in a way that you don't get to listen maybe when you're out at a cocktail bar or whatever. And that's another thing I love about road trips. And that's not something that you could ever force. It just comes out organically of being in this space with this other person.
Yeah, you're kind of like, not, this is going to sound bad, but you're like, it's like forced captivity. Like in that way where it's like the ground is so fertile for that to happen in that kind of space, because there's this availability for vulnerability when it's just you and another person. You know, it's different where it's like, I'm at his apartment right now. I can get up and go to the bathroom. I can go over here. I can leave and go outside. You're in a car. You're not going anywhere unless you're at, you know, stopping at a pit stop somewhere. So I think it is just such fertile ground for like that sort of conversation to just come up and allow for those deep things, which is kind of wonderful. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's unexpected in some ways. You never know where the conversation's going to go, but there's a beauty in that.
I think there's also something to be said when you're both just staring straight ahead at the road that you feel more comfortable saying things. Do you know what I mean? Like, versus sitting across the table and looking into someone's eyes. It's like you're both sitting, looking straight ahead, and you can just talk and let things fly.
Yeah. Oh,
so.
Yeah. Some of the hardest conversations I think I've ever had in my entire life happened in cars. You know what I mean? Like, it really does, like, give you such an opportunity for that.
I came out to people in cars. Plenty of
people. Me too. Plenty of people.
That was
my queer journey.
Yeah.
I wanted to share this with you. I mean, obviously, we've known each other for 12, going on 1,000 years, it feels like. But, like, when we did our road trip, we did a 5-week road trip in the summer of 2021 that took us to 10 parks. And like that was when we went all the way to Glacier. And something that we discovered on that trip about each other, which we could never articulate before, was the fact that like when something throws us off, like I feel it immediately and very intensely. And then Mike is like slow roll and we'll feel it maybe 3 hours later. Or 3 days later, it'll sort of like slow roll its way into like, oh, now. And I'm like, oh, this is the stuff I was dealing with like 3 days ago. You know what I mean? Like,
you're the Virgil to my Dante.
Kind of, yeah. Right, in that way. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Emotionally. And
I love how road trips give us so much opportunity to learn new things about ourselves and new things about, you know, the people that we travel with.
And also, I mean, our country too. And now, you know, you guys have driven for 5 weeks. You've crossed the country. You didn't do coast to coast, but you did pretty close. I would love to know what your take is or your reaction was driving through so many different geographic landscapes, which I always find very shocking, no matter how many times I do it. But also the accents, people's different, you know, like, the way they speak is different, the way they dress is different, the way they look is different, which I think is such a unique thing to our country, and as opposed to, say, France or, you know, other places where it's much smaller. This is, we're all kind of one nation, and yet we're very different.
Yeah, very different.
And we live in very different geographies and topography. So I was curious, was that something that, like, kind of rose to the top for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, my background is theater, and I love dialects, and I love accents. So I'm listening to stuff constantly.
We leaned real hard into Midwest accent, like ourselves.
The Midwest,
like, it just,
like,
happened.
It was just...
we picked it up.
What are we gonna do now? Like, what about tomorrow? You know, like,
it would just happen real fast,
and we would be like, we would be aware of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like,
I am the same way. I pick it up, and it's really embarrassing because I feel like people think I'm making fun of them, and I'm like, not. I just pick it up.
Yeah, it just happens.
Yeah.
I think geographically, just that trip was obviously our biggest, but we, you know, all of our parks trips have been in some way or another road trips. Yeah, we'll take a plane sometimes to get somewhere, but then we're in a car for like 10 days traveling from, you know, Las Vegas all the way, you know, out to Moab and then back down through Grand Canyon and Painted Desert and around. So, like, we've seen, like, the, like, disparate geography just by, like, those sort of travels. But, like, the 5 weeks, definitely having done that trip and being in New Jersey where everything is so densely populated, and there you can drive, like, you know, 10 minutes in some places and you'll go through three towns, and then getting further and further west and being like, oh my God, there is nothing. Like, north, driving across North Dakota, then through all the way Montana was like, if we break down, we're screwed. Like, you know,
if
that was like sort of, that was very present in our minds. And I just remember swinging back as we started to come back after, I guess it was Badlands and Wind Cave. And I think we went to Oklahoma City. No, where did we end up? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, in Omaha.
And I was like, oh my God, it's so nice to be in a city. Like, I missed that rush of And then we were in that space again of empty before we hit really St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was interesting to see that, like, how just vast the country is, that, and then how vast the spaces are between things. That was fascinating for the both of us.
Yeah.
Another thing that in New Jersey, when people, like, interact together, like, it's often, like, especially people who don't know each other, like, immediately right off the bat, like, the communication can sound very harsh and very, like, all business and, like, blah, blah. And then, like, after a moment, like, people warm up and let their guards down. Whereas, like, when we go to California, it's like, guards are just down. The guards are down. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we walk into a cafe and it's like somebody who doesn't work there is just like, oh, hey, what's up? And I'm like, just coming in. How's this cafe? It's pretty good. I just got this latte. Yeah. I like that. Do you want to try it?
Do you want to try
it's
it?
Like, it's just that. Like, it's like automatic that. Generosity.
Automatic generosity. Just like everybody, like the level of chill is like way higher, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I am always curious about, like, I'll call it cold call communication. Like, first, right off the bat, like, we don't know each other, but we have to talk to each other about something. Like, how does that go down here in Michigan? And how does that happen here in Tennessee? And how does that happen over in Montana? And it's like, it's so fascinating to watch it happen.
Yeah. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier with, if you're open on a road trip to maybe saying hello, or maybe even allowing, you know, someone local to approach you, you get to experience like what that's like and kind of get a sense of, okay, well, if I talk to someone in New Jersey for 20 minutes, they're going to warm up over the 20 minutes. But if I talk to someone in Arizona, for example, they're going to be talking to me right away. Like they're going to be chatting right away. Or in Oregon, it might take a little bit longer, but then they're going to give you tickets to the aquarium, invite you over to their house for dinner. So
it's just
sort of that open-heartedness that I think, at least that's what I've experienced on road trips, and that, you know, open-heartedness to of myself. I mean, allowing myself to be kind of available to like whatever is gonna come my way.
I'm so curious about like where, like in the research that you did to write this book, was there like a stretch of road trip or an area that you were able to travel and explore where you found that that open-heartedness in yourself was a lot more open than you expected?
Ooh, that's such a good question. First, I want to give a huge amount of thank you to all of the other Moon authors that we pulled content from their books for this book. So if anyone out there thinks that I did 50 road trips, I did not. I've done portions of almost every single road trip in here, but in areas where I didn't, wasn't able to get to those parts, we were able to pull content from other Moon authors. So thank you. They're all amazing. And it's all authentic content. But yeah, to your question, I think I would say it was on Route 50, and that I would say Route 50 because it takes you through every probable possible offering that our country has, in the sense that you're going to go through major cities, big cities. You go through Washington, D.C., you start in Sacramento. It takes you to Ocean City, which is a beach town in Maryland. It takes you through very remote parts of West Virginia through the Allegheny Mountains. And I think what I felt melt away for me was a lot of my expectations or stereotypes, I think, that I had for a lot of different places. I've always lived in big cities. I'm from the East Coast originally, and I've always grown up in a city. So for me, a city, I'm very comfortable in a city. But it also means that I kind of have a little bit of a hard shell around me because I've got to get things done, right? Like you're moving and you're going here and you're going there, and you can't take a lot of time to be bothered with other people. And so I think I had a lot of stereotypes for a lot of different places in our country, for better or for worse. As I kept driving west, I felt a lot of those just fall away, melt away, because I was confronted with my stereotypes and then the reality of like what I was experiencing. And truly what I was experiencing were a lot of really nice people and a lot of really beautiful places in our country too, where I might think, why would I ever drive through Western Kansas? There can't be anything there worth seeing. And yet it was so beautiful. And the skies, like even to this day, I still remember how big and open the skies were. And I would love to drive back through there again. So I think that was probably my lesson to be learned. Driving on that, it was 4 weeks of a lot of letting my guard down.
Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our Moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use Moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
I'm curious, since you've done so much road travel, what is a weird, wild, or very interesting, like, roadside? I'm fascinated by roadside attractions, so, like, I'm curious about your interest in them and what you have maybe seen that has been just so outlandish that, like, it feels like it needs to be shared.
We did just come back from Big Bend National Park, so we were able to drive through Marfa, Texas, which has this very, like, is known for, like, the filming of that movie. What was the name of it?
Oh my God.
Sorry.
No Country for Old Men.
It might as well have been.
No, it's like,
was it?
It's like Grand or something. No,
it was a Rock Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
Natalie Wood movie. No, yeah. Not Natalie Wood.
No,
it was some
Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor.
And James Dean was in it.
It was
Why can't I think
some...
of it?
Hold on. We're going to find out.
And there's a giant
mural.
Mural,
that are cut out murals of them on the roadside. But then that's also, they have the Prada store on the roadside there. So it was just like, we hadn't really encountered anything like that in our travels, like, that has been so sort of like quirky roadside thing. So I'm just curious about, like, that's probably the thing that sticks out in my mind the most is that.
The movie is called Giant.
Giant. See? Did they say it was like Grand or something?
And we've been saying that word. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Giant. Well, so there's a Marfa road trip in the book. It has you like fly into El Paso and it has you go through Marfa and then end in Big Bend.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did.
That's exactly what we did. Yeah.
And that was because I had literally done that trip with friends of mine from Austin. And we were like, let's put this road trip together. And so we did that. So I basically just wrote our experiences for that road trip. But if that is your only experience with a roadside attraction, my friends, you have to get on Route 66 because
yes,
that's all Route 66 is. And what is so fascinating about Route 66 is all of these roadside attractions popped up during Route 66's heyday, right? In the 40s and 50s, because the idea was there was so much traffic on Route 66. And I mean traffic in that, not like stop and go, but just people driving on there, that each destination had to make themselves more interesting, more weird, more unique in order to get people to pull off and spend some money. So all of Route 66 is just roadside attraction after roadside attraction after roadside attraction.
Okay.
And my very favorite in the whole wide world is the Blue Whale, which is in Catoosa, Oklahoma. Catoosa, Oklahoma, which is just outside of Tulsa. There was a pond, and this guy, he owned the property, and he decided to build a whale that is giant out of, like, steel. It looks like a papier-mâché whale, but, like, the size of the Titanic. And it extends out over this pond. When he built it, it was like a diving board and a slide, so you could run into the mouth of the whale and then just, like, keep running until you jumped out of its tail into the pond. And so to this day, you can go there. They don't let you jump in the water, but you can walk through the whale.
That is wild.
You can, like, climb up on its side and take photos. It's my favorite. And the whale is the cutest. Whale. It has just the cutest face. It's adorable, except it's like the size of a yacht.
Okay.
Like a luxury, okay. Like an ocean liner.
Yeah.
Sold.
Yeah.
That's one of my faves.
I've got the El Paso to Big Bend road trip. I'm turned to that page in the book right now. And I want to thank you so much for including Marfa Burrito because, those people are so kind.
So nice.
It's so delicious. Literally best breakfast burrito I've ever had.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I said that in the book. Maybe I've
you
said
did.
It other
you okay. literally No, you did. You said the best stop here for a breakfast burrito, quite possibly the best you'll ever eat.
Literally the best. And I live in Phoenix, Arizona, where breakfast burritos are like a staple. I could get a breakfast burrito from a different place every single day and never have the same one. And that was probably, I think it's the tortillas in Marfa.
Yeah.
I think whatever they're doing with those tortillas, and they're hand tossing them. So as you know, when you go in there, you see them making the tortillas, and then that becomes your breakfast burrito. It couldn't be fresher. It's so good.
It was so good.
So good. Yep, we literally did all of this.
Oh,
this exact
good.
Trip, Alpine, Big Bend, all of this. And I'm like, oh, I wish we would have had this when
at
we
the
were
time,
doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but we did it anyway.
We did it anyway.
But you did it anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we figured it out. But yes, we did. We highly recommend that road trip, everybody. And it's totally, totally doable.
Yeah, and Big Bend is such a sleeper park.
And we
a
did it.
A lot of people
we,
don't go there.
And funny, we did do it in 4 days. That's the number of days that you have listed here in the book, too.
I couldn't agree more about Big Bend. I didn't know a lot about it before we went. We had friends from LA and friends from Austin, and then we were in Phoenix, so we were trying to find a place where Austin, LA, and Phoenix people could all meet up, and we picked Big Bend because we could all fly into El Paso pretty easily, so that was how the whole trip came about. But I had never been to Big Bend and I loved it. I just thought, as you said,
awesome.
Such a sleeper park. There was no one there. And yet,
oh my God,
the
there was stargazing. No one there.
Amazing. The stargazing.
Yeah.
The Chisos Mountains.
Yes.
So my favorite hikes, I love a good short hike. I mean, I'll take any hike, but my favorite hikes are the long epic ones where you kind of like feel like you go through
like
seven
30.
Different terrains like in one. And Big Bend has one that is just out of this world. Like, I was so alive for every turn of that trail.
Do you also, on those epic hikes, not only do you go through different landscapes, but do you also personally go through like a life journey on those things?
Oh, certainly.
I sing Journey to the Past on every trail.
Every trail from Anastasia. Yeah.
The Grand Canyon hike that I told you about where I saw Dave Matthews, again, which I could have been hallucinating, but...
A little baby!
It was, you know, it was like, what is that, 18 miles or something from rim to river back up to rim. And I'm telling you, I feel like I went through every, like, emotion you could go through. I feel like I went through all the phases of life. Like at parts of it, I was, like, exhilarated and joyful. And at other parts, I was just, like, angry and cranky. And then I was hungry. And then I was energetic. And then I was, like, by the time I was coming out, I was, like, I don't even think I was feeling anything anymore. Like, it was just, like, one foot in
front
of the other.
Void.
Yes, just an empty shell of a human. But that's what the national park, I love the national parks because you can do these insane hikes like that where not only are you seeing some pretty stunning landscapes, but you can also really like push yourself through some interesting journeys.
Absolutely. I think that's like part of the beauty of hiking too. And I think part of that just comes from the regenerative power of nature and just being in nature and having that sort of groundedness and connection that, yes, a road trip can give you those beautiful, deep conversations, but there's something about nature that just centers you and I think allows you to have that experience that's a solo experience. And there's such beauty in that too.
Very well said. Beautifully said.
I feel like right now I'm getting to a place in my life where I finally like accepted that like the goal isn't to like always feel joy at every moment in time. It's that it's to accept that like the highs and the lows are all part of a beautiful fabric that we like.
A road trip, if you will.
A road trip, if you will. But I do feel like an epic hike is sort of like a lovely reminder that all of the things that we feel are not good or bad. They just are. Their feelings just are. And so like we get to see a lot of versions of ourselves all in one swoop. And it always reminds me that I'm like, yeah, that means I'm a person who like is alive. You know?
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. That was, do you have like a hike in one of the parks where either that was like the first time you had that realization or it was maybe the most memorable time that you experienced that?
Oh, that's good.
That's a great
question. That's going to be a deep dive because there's been so many at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of like really formative sort of.
I'm going to go to Angel's Landing in Zion National Park. That started out for me as like thrilling and so exciting. And I'm so ready to do this. And then it was, oh my God, this is so hard. Oh, I thought we were almost done. Oh, we're not even close. Oh, we're here. And now there's this section with chains. Like, I didn't even know about the chains. I was totally surprised by these chains that you have to, it's just like 1,000-foot drop-offs on both sides casually, and I'm afraid of heights. And it's like, I was like, what? And so like there was a moment when he was like, are you okay? And I was like, don't touch me right now. I was, because I mean, I have a degree in drama, so it's going to be big and dramatic. And so like, and yeah. And then like, we come back. There was a part where I slipped and I fell and it could have been really bad. And then I got up and I was like, I'm not going to emotionally process that. I'm going to wait till we're back down into like a place where the
safety.
And then like, and then I was angry and mad and sad and like hysterical. And then we get off the trail and I was like, let's do like 10 more miles of trails today. And then we did. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So that was one for me.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking of a very specific. So we had a trip planned to Shenandoah. I think it was our second time to the park.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. And I had literally just went through a breakup like the day before. I think I called you, like, okay, like we're still going, but like,
but this is where I am
this
emotionally.
Is where I am.
Right.
And like,
you were coming in very raw.
Oh. Uh-huh. So we hiked Old Rag that day, and Old Rag is such an incredible hike, and it is the hikes that like hit the button for me are the ones that are like playgroundy, jungle gymmy, like you have to like use your brain, like there's like some climbing, there's some scrambling, there's some like moving your body in ways that just aren't either on a true incline or flat, like there's something happening. And I allowed myself to just like distract in all that, and then we got to the top of Old Rag and I was like, God, this is so beautiful. It was fall, so everything was orange and looked like it was on fire and it was just gorgeous. And then there was the come down into the woods and it was like emotions.
Sobbing.
And it was, yeah, and sobbing, like literal sobbing.
Yeah.
And it was, but it was that sort of like, again, it allowed, there was an allowance of that release. And it was just the two of us on the trail at that time. Like there was no one around. And it was also like a safety security thing. Like I knew I was with somebody that I could be open and raw with, but I think nature helped to push that along a little for me, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a similar story, not nature, but road trip related. And I was living in New York at the time, had just gone through a terrible breakup, like epic breakup, and was moving out to Phoenix, to Arizona, where I live now. And I had a job lined up, but I was leaving New York because like this was the breakup of all the breakups. And I was like, I gotta get out. This island is very small. Like I gotta get off this place. And had just packed up my car, just like my little car with whatever I had. So there was like not a moving truck. It was nothing. It was like me and all my like literal baggage and like emotional baggage. and just started driving west. And it was like things just hit a little different when you're carrying that stuff and all those feelings, but then also you're on the road, right? And it's just like hours to think, but like a sunset hits a little bit different. I remember being on I-40, and I think I was like going through the panhandle of Texas, which is a very like vast expanse of land. Like there's not a whole lot. There was just, the whole land was flat and the sun was just like, just kept sinking and sinking and sinking. And I just was literally watching the sun set. And it was, as I said, just hits a little different when you're feeling all the feelings. And I think that was probably when I was like, oh, a road trip can be a lot more than just a way to get from point A to B. Like by the time I got to Arizona, I felt so much lighter. Like lighter and sparklier and like ready to like start this new chapter. And I do not think that I would have felt that way if I had gotten on a plane in Newark and landed at Sky Harbor. Like I think I would have been just a mess. And I wasn't. I mean, I was during the trip. By the time I got there, I wasn't.
It's real hard to feel sparkly in Newark.
At least the Newark airport. Let's not besmirch the good people of Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, the Newark airport area. Right. Right. I completely feel that and totally relate to that. There is a process that a road trip gives you, as you called it, a transformational journey that we all personally go through somehow, some way. And I think it's all about the possibility when we actually are really open to that.
I think so too.
Real quick, we have to thank you for as people who live in New Jersey, this road trip up the Jersey Shore is perfect.
Oh, yay!
Did you get to do this one?
I did, yes. So I had way many, many years ago, I had dated someone and all of his family was from New Jersey. So I got inside scoop on all things New Jersey. And also I love Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I was a fan of Bruce Springsteen's. And so I was always sort of like strangely drawn to things like all things New Jersey. And so I was really excited. That road trip actually almost didn't make it in the book because we kind of had like a longer list and we were trying to pare things down and it almost didn't make it in.
I'm
and
so
I was like, I think we need to keep it in.
It's so, it goes from Cape May to Ocean City to Long Beach Island. Thank you so much for including Long Beach Island. What a very special, weird place. To Tom's River, Asbury Park, which is like, we are in Asbury Park all the time. And then up to Long Branch. But there are so, like, I tell people all the time, like, when they visit, because I'm originally from the South. I'm originally from Mississippi. And so when I have family visit me, I'm like, we're just going to go to a bunch of shore towns because they're just so much fun. And they're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And like we make mini road trips out of this, but this is such a great way to spend and time and see like the beauty that New Jersey really has to offer, which I mean, it is the Garden State after all, and people forget that all the time. So I'm really, as a person, I've now lived in New Jersey longer than I've lived in Mississippi. So I can say as a New Jerseyan, I'm very, very happy that you included it here.
I think there's something special too, like about sort of like the shore culture on the East Coast. Like if you haven't grown up on the East Coast, you don't get that, like, that's what you do in the summer. Like I grew up in Maryland and everyone either went to the Eastern Shore or you went to Ocean City, or you go to Myrtle Beach. And it's like a thing. It's like a thing that everyone on the East Coast does. It's like you have your shore that you go to and that's where you spend like your weekend or whatever. And there's all, you're waiting in traffic. It's really hot and humid, but like you just can't wait to get to the shore. And now that I've been on the West Coast for so long, it's very different than California beach culture. Like those are two very different like shore cultures, if you will. And that was why I was really excited to be able to include a Jersey Shore road trip in there. And also there's a Chesapeake Bay road trip as well, which includes a lot of like the Maryland beaches. Cause it was just, it's what I grew up with. It's like special to me. I want some Californians to take a road trip and experience it.
I love that specifically about moon travel is that there's so much of you in the book. You are the expert. Like, and it's obviously you've done so much traveling, but like, it's great that you included that Maryland trip because that's like you're writing what you know, and you included this New Jersey trip. Like, obviously you've done these big, massive cross-country trips, which are things that people aspire to all the time. But then there are these small little pockets that allow people like a window into, you know, a part of the country that they might not have ever thought about just doing a small road trip in, and really opening up the beauty that there is in just that maybe 4-day trip or maybe 2-day trip. Like, I think that's so great. And the fact that you have the ownership over that of just feeling like I've done this and I love it and I want to share it because it makes me happy and I've loved this experience. So like, that's such a beautiful thing. And that's what I love about this book specifically, but all the moon books, because the people that write them know what they're talking about.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. And I think that's also like a unique thing about guidebooks. I mean, you can go online and you can find everything you need to know about taking a trip, right? Like all the information's on the internet, it's there. But what I love about a guidebook is exactly what you said, is this is a person, whoever authored that guidebook they've been in the trenches. Like they put the miles on the car and they put the miles on the hiking boots and they've been there. And so a lot of it might just be their own tastes, but it's still like so personal. And I think that's like what's special about a guidebook. And in fact, when I just did that Oregon coast trip, I took the Moon National Parks book by Becky Lomax with me because we went to Death Valley and we went to Yosemite and we went to all of these national parks. And I had her guidebook in the console and we would just flip it open and read aloud and like absolutely like follow like turn by turn sometimes. Like let's just do what she said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Becky's book is consistently with us, and I think that your book is probably gonna be consistently with us too,
because
it's like the pearls of wisdom are immense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have an epic playlist, right? You put all those songs together, you're gonna have like 10 hours of some music and some podcasts.
Ain't no problem with that.
No. Speaking of fun, we do like to end every episode with a game. So we have written a game and we're wondering if you would be interested in playing.
I would love to.
It's a game for the both of you because you haven't seen this game.
Great. I don't know this game either. So great. I guess, and we're both playing.
This is a game about state's license plates. Since you spend so much time on the road, and
I already feel like I'm going to be amazing at this.
Well,
go ahead.
I think you both will do very well.
Okay.
All right. We consistently get not critiqued, but
people say our trivia is very hard.
Yeah.
We get like that's our one note. They're like, this is because we do a game of we each write a category of Jeopardy for each other at the end of every episode. And the note that we consistently get is like, it's fun, but it's so hard.
So I've made it very accessible for everybody here. All right. There are 7 of them. For 100, this state's plates are beautiful, featuring a desert landscape with cactuses on it. While the state's nickname is after this national park, a vast and grandiose chasm, the park itself is not the graphic of the plate.
It's Arizona.
There you go.
I have to say our plates are very pretty. It's like sunset with like a little saguaro. And we are the Grand Canyon state.
Yeah,
it's,
New Jersey
so pretty.
With our plain yellow.
Yellow.
Plates.
It's like it's just literally
golden
like
yellow.
A yellow ombre.
I'm like, why not make it beautiful? I always thought, I was always jealous of New York's plates when it was the old plate with like the skyline and like Niagara Falls and the blue.
And now
I like,
think
so
they're
cool.
Like an orange, right? It's like a dark.
It's blue. It's the dark blue and orange.
Blue
now.
And orange, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, there's so much personality that can come out in a license plate. Like,
yeah.
I'm not talking about bumper stickers. I'm talking about license plates.
Yeah.
All right. For 200, this plate features the phrase taxation without representation, which underscores the understandable ire of being part of the U.S. with no representation in Congress.
Do you know what it is?
I know what it is. Do you know what it is?
I don't know. I could guess, but I want you to go. It sounds like you know what it is.
I think it's Washington, D.C.
That's correct. And while monkey's brains,
popular in Cantonese cuisine,
yes!
are not often to be found in Washington, D.C.
Ah, this just turned into a Jessica. Clue podcast.
Is that what we ate?
Oh, Jessica, we knew you were family.
Mrs. Peacock was a man?
No, wait, mm-hmm. but wait. Great. How do you know that's my favorite movie? It's our favorite movie.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Clue.
No.
Yes. Consistently quoted.
No, I can
Are you hiding? I'm coming.
I can do the whole movie start to finish, and that is how I met my best friend in the whole world. Was she accidentally started like doing the movie, and then I finished the movie, and we were like, oh, should we
friends forever?
Friends forever. Yep. I feel like we had a similar something mm-hmm. happen mm-hmm. with us with
Clue
that movie.
And Drop Dead Gorgeous brought
yeah,
us together.
Yeah, that's another mm-hmm. yeah one of our yeah. favorites. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I'm not all shouting. Right. All right, I am. I'm shouting. Oh my God.
Occasionally when there are silences, I'll just go, my wife had friends who were
socialists.
Connecting on Clue here. I love yeah. that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, for 300, this state's plates feature a rainbow arching from end to end, a nod to the beauty and splendor of this Pacific state where you couldn't take a car to get everywhere you wanted to go.
Yes, that is Hawaii.
That's correct. Yep. For 400, this state's plates have a pelican, which also appears on its flag, along with the phrase Sportsman's Paradise, a nickname for this southern state.
Maybe one of the Carolinas?
I'm thinking either Louisiana or Florida.
Ooh.
I don't know, though.
It's Louisiana.
Oh, it's Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. I'm pretty sure the pelican is the state bird of Louisiana. But then yes. the birders might, my fellow birders might come for me not knowing that.
I think
that's not true.
I'm pretty sure. For 500, this state's plates have a nod to the national anthem on them, featuring fireworks and Fort McHenry, an incredibly inspirational spot for Francis Scott Key.
They have fireworks on them?
Mm-hmm. Or perhaps bombs bursting in air.
I don't know that either.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
I think no. I came in with too much swagger. Virginia?
Do it. Be confident.
Maybe? Is it Virginia?
Maryland. Oh, is it Maryland?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that they had the flag. Is the
flag
Maryland
is
flag?
There too, but no, oh. the maybe it's an older version of the plate too. Yeah. Mm. I think oh. maybe the newer version does have the flag, but there's an older version that has Fort McHenry. There's oh. a flag and there's bombs bursting
oh.
in there.
I don't know.
All right.
Now I'm very embarrassed.
For 600, this smack dab in the middle of the country state's plates feature a western meadowlark and goldenrod, the state bird and flower, respectively. This is a little bit of a toughie.
Hmm. Western like meadowlark.
Smack dab in
I
the middle.
I mean, meadowlarks are probably somewhere in the Great Plains, I would imagine. Where there are meadows.
Well, think about states like right in the middle of the country, like literally in the middle of the contiguous U.S.
Like Kansas, Nebraska?
Mm-hmm. Nebraska.
Great.
All right. And this one's hopefully an easy $700 one. I'm Great. Sorry. The first in-flight state features an homage to the Wright brothers who launched their first successful flight in Kitty Hawk.
North Carolina.
That's correct.
There we go. $700.
$700. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for everything and for Clue and for playing along.
This was the best.
Yeah.
I cannot. It's like I'm going to hang up with you and I'm going to call my best friend Katie and I'm going to tell her what just transpired. She's not going to believe me. This is so exciting.
Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard,
and Michael Ryan.
To see images of this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Middlesex County, New Jersey.